Blog Talk Radio.
Lying down. Hey, this week.
one of the enemies attacking in your life, you got to say, you can't be breaking down and falling out. You don't break out your prayer, break out your word. You're going to break out the praise. Last time, somebody clap your hands this round. That's all you got, that's all you got.
Means war. Means war. Means war. It means war. And you got to know, he can't have your praise. No matter who or how he tried to attack you, he can't have your family. He can't have your finances. You are going to have to take this, take it back, in other words. If you're lost somewhere along the road, don't worry about it. You got power to take it back. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, the apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God, and to all the saints for in Christ Jesus, those that know that they're in a spiritual war constantly. No reason the Bible says watch as well as pray. You got to be on the alert for everything, especially when you're dealing with slick Satan. But we're going to go that word of prayer. We're going to get into this message that Christ is so much better than angels. All, no matter which ones they are. Satan, Lucifer, was an angel, and you have to know that. Thanks, Pastor Bill. If she'll go ahead on and say a word of prayer. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, everyone. Amen. And thank you, Pastor On, because we are in a war. We are fighting a battle. Amen. And the scripture I like to share is coming from Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 12. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor
of God,
that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I'm going to go ahead and read verse 13. It says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today in the name of Jesus, we're thanking you for another day. Thanking you, Father God, for our pastor as he teaches the word of God. We're thanking you for the listeners, Father God, those that called in, those who are listening by internet. Lord, we give you praise today. Your word is powerful. Your word is faithful. Your word is true. And we're thankful, Father God, that we're learning that you are so much better than the angels, Father God. Lord, we ask that you continue to be with each and every one. And we're praying for those that are sick and shut in, those who are bereaved, and those who are going through, Father God. We give you thanks for all things. Now, Lord, open up our hearts and our mind to receive your word today, Father God. And then let us hide it in our heart that we can meditate on it day and night. We ask it all in Christ Jesus' name. We pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Bill, for that awesome prayer. Hey, listen, brothers and sisters, we're talking about Christ is better than angels. He have a better name. But we have picked out a specific angel to talk about this week, and that's Lucifer, Satan, our adversary, the devil. Call it what you want to call it. He's in control of this world. That means God is over Satan because he is all powerful. So I don't want nobody to go leave me here thinking that Satan got more power than God. You just need to know what your enemy is about. I made a statement yesterday, if you ever played any kind of sports, you need to know what your competition got. You need to know what you're working with. You know what you have. But you need to know what they have, and you know their strength and their a weakness. And when you do this, it makes you a better warrior. It makes you a better competition, if you would. It makes you a better player.
All right. Amen.
And I want to be real clear on this. So my endeavors this week is to show you Satan's powers. Take nothing away from what God did. See, God permitted this, and I'm going to show you that this week. God permits Satan to be like this. Now, the only way you're going to be able to appreciate what God did is you're going to have to study. And you can say, okay, yeah, I see why. I see why. You'll see that God allowed things to happen. And then the most magical thing God ever did, I think the most creative thing he ever did, he gave man the ability to choose.
Say that.
Choice matters. Okay? Choice matters. Being able to choose if you want to be on God's side or if you want to be on Satan's side. Because Satan is a god. Do not underestimate your opponent. The moment you began to underestimate your opponent, They got the jump on you, so to speak. Don't underestimate faith. So God exposed him, and he showed me that we need to expose him too, expose him as well. So I'm going to talk a little bit about, I'm going to ask Pastor Shield to read some of these scriptures, because the first truth you have to know is Satan was created as the greatest of all angelic hosts. Now, I know folks don't want to hear Satan is great. I know you don't want to hear that. So if you understand how great he is, then you can understand how great the his creator is. But to underscore or undermine his powers and his ability, you've already lost the war. You don't want to do that, because one of the things he does is he's a great deceiver. But anyway, let's kind of get into some of these scriptures. Over there in the book of Isaiah, and we're going to get our foundational scripture in Revelation 12 and 9. We're going to add this one. Well, first, let's go to Ezekiel. We're going to go to Ezekiel 28 and 15. I'm just excited, brothers and sisters, about this lesson, because God wants you to know this stuff. He don't want you walking around ignorant. See, he said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. God wants you to have this knowledge about Satan, Lucifer. But in Ezekiel 28 and 8:15, would you read that, Pastor?
Yes, Pastor. Reading from the King James. Thou wast pitch perfect in the ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. Amen.
And then couple that with Isaiah 14 and 12.
Isaiah 14 and verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Amen.
Read that next verse. Matter of fact, I'm going to have to read the verse before and the verse after.
Verse 11. They pomp is a... I'm sorry. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of the vows, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the side of the north. Amen.
Here's what you want to know. Satan ain't always been Satan. He ain't always been Lucifer.
Amen.
He started off, the best of my knowledge, when God created him. For a better way of saying it, not only was he better than all the other angels except for Christ, he was the highest ranking, if you would, angelic being in the world. The highest. Until his behavior changed. Boy, now,
all right.
Because sometimes we get a little knowledge and our behavior change. The Bible says he was perfect.
Amen.
Now here's what most people don't realize. He was perfect. God made him perfect. Complete.
Yeah.
So his behavior changed.
Mm-hmm.
He allowed pride to enter in. And that's just so important. He allowed pride. Ever since I've seen people get on religious pride. I've seen people get pride on a job and lose their job. That don't mean they lost their ability to do certain things. But pride caused them to fall, for a better way of saying, from grace. I mean, for a better way of saying it, he was among the big boys. Big boys. So that, and we're going to get back to that. But I just wanted to show you that he was among the angelic beings, and he was the greatest of them except for Christ. So God addressed him by his heavenly title. He called him Lucifer. So if you know what he was when he was in heaven, he was called Lucifer. Though Ezekiel, God addressed him as the heavenly title. King of Tyrus symbolized the lower depth of moral depravity of all creative powers and the lower depth of the pride that he had. So let me just take my time and say this, because, see, Satan was Lucifer. Matter of fact, we call him the son of morning.
Amen.
That's what he meant. His name means the day star, for we have said it, the day star, the light bearer. Now, this is what, when I tell you Revelation 12 says he was great, I want you to think about these things. He was a light bearer. That's interesting.
Yeah.
He had knowledge. He could shine darkness. He bared light like no other angel. But he was full of wisdom. Full of wisdom. And perfect in beauty.
Mm-hmm. Say that.
He had been in God. Not any God, but the Garden of God. That's where Eden at.
Mm-hmm.
And right. Is I want to go too. I think I will. Let's go to Ezekiel 8. In Ezekiel 28, and she said, I think you read 12 through, you read 11 through 16, Pastor?
11 through 14, Pastor.
Okay, let's try 11 through 16.
All right, 11 through 16. Okay. And you said that's Ezekiel.
Yes.
That was Ezekiel, Pastor? Okay. Yeah, I had just read 15 in Ezekiel. I was thinking about Isaiah. But okay, 28:11 through 16. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sun full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the oxen, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covered, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in the ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Amen.
So y'all make notes of this, because I didn't say this up. The Bible says this. That's what I like. I like when the word says, word call him Lucifer, son of morning.
You're breaking up.
Because they light bearer. Yeah. I mean, he had wisdom. Now, the Bible says he was perfect. I don't want to hear that. True. The Bible says Satan was perfect and iniquity was found in him.
Yeah.
Iniquity. It's like the homemade sin. Homemade sin is something that you put together. You make it up. You say it's like this because you can articulate words to fit the criteria. That's what Satan was known for, being able to articulate words and twist them and turn them to appease. But, because that's part of what he does. He is a deceiver. And you are not exempt.
Amen.
Don't care about your number and your name is unlisted. You are not exempt. Because Revelation 12 and 9 says the whole world, and we're going to get into that. But right now, I want you to know the Bible declared that Lucifer, before his fall, is described in and also in Isaiah. But Satan, after he had failed, sort of kind of in some kind of way, What changed Lucifer into the devil? Lucifer means anointed. He was an anointed cherubim. Satan,
now, right.
By introduction of the original sin into the universe,
mm-hmm.
which is pride. The first sin is pride. Lucifer introduced that. Then his name became Satan. Okay? That's important. Put that in your notes. Because he became Satan. And so when you read Isaiah 14, we'll read 14 and let's read 13 and 14. Isaiah 13 and verses 13 and 14. Will you read that for me, Pastor?
Mm-hmm. Okay, Isaiah. Did you say 13 or 14, Pastor? I apologize.
13 and 14.
Okay. 13 and 14. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Amen.
See, so that's where he had introduced to Adam and Eve. Hey, man, mm-hmm. he showed them some life. He didn't need to show them another woman. Adam had the best thing God had ever created. Didn't show them another man. That wasn't tempting to him, to them.
All
but
right.
The moment he began to spread this gossip, this creative mm-hmm. stuff he did this. Satan did this. He created mm-hmm. And so, and because of that, he became the devil.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He said, I will. That's why you have to be careful with what comes out your mouth. Because it ain't about you. You can try to cover it up as much as you want to. But the Bible said that he said, I will. In these two verses, I will ascend into the heavens. Because
mm-hmm.
he got kicked out. Now he's going to. Mm-hmm. Tell Eve them, hey, you know, you can be like God. You was already like God. You was made in his image after his likeness. But
yeah.
You just wanted more power. I hurt for people figure out ways to have more power. You can't have no more power than a believer.
Okay.
Satan are putting your heart and in your mind, if you do this, you got more power. Because he is the God of this world. And that's where
mm-hmm.
it stops. So that we cannot afford to be of the world. Even though we can be in the world, we don't have to be of the world. Because when you become of the world, and mainly worldly churches and stuff, once you become of the world or that world system, you're no longer, I don't care how sleep you are, you're no longer part of Christ's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, talked a little bit about the kingdom of God because that's what we were to preach. But anyway, let me move on. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation. And Satan always trying to get in whatever it takes. He said, I will ascend above the high of the cloud and I will be like the Most High. Lucifer became Satan by choosing his own will above the will of God. Y'all need to note that. Don't do that. Don't fall into that trap. Lucifer said, I will sin. And the moment he said, I will, sin began.
Have mercy.
Guess where it was at? In his spirit. He spoke that out of his spirit. He didn't speak to God. Word, he spoke his word. Now he can turn it any way he wanted to turn it, and he did. So the fall of Satan. Now remember the answer. Where is originated at? In his heart. That's where sin starts at, people. In your heart, yeah. In your spirit. Not in that four muscle, but in your spirit. And you start believing a lie rather than the truth, because he is the father of it. God determined the sentence where angels or men, the creator is created to be God's center. So Lucifer was capable of wronging when he became self-righteous, put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So we learned that in 1 Peter 5:8, he's our adversary. We learned that the devil is a slanderer. We're going to go to Revelations 12:9. And we won't finish it today. We're going to pick it up tomorrow. But Pastor, if you'll go to Revelations 12:9 with us, read that for us.
Okay, Revelation 12 in verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Amen.
So when these were people who had come back against the things of God. But what I want you to notice, I'm trying to give Satan no credit. Please believe this. Please, and please understand, I'm exposing him like God exposing him.
Mm-hmm.
He tells the people in heaven, rejoice. But woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. And for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath. Because he knows. So you can't excuse that. The Bible says he got great wrath. He knows. That he had but a short time.
Amen.
And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman and brought forth a child. But here's what I want you to see. That ninth verse is, and the great dragon and cast out the old serpent called the devil. God is identifying him. Well, Brother John, yes, God, he's identifying him. The great dragon. When you think about the word, we might get into that tomorrow. But I think you have to unpack this thing. Because when you think about great, you think about somebody slick. When you think about great, think about a pure hander. Or you think about talent. You think about somebody polished in a skill. You know, when you think about great, you think about multitude. You think about effectual. You think about able. When you think about great, you think about, and believe me, I got so many scriptures about great, it'll blow your mind. And in different contexts. But at the end of the day, when you think about how many thousand times the word great and hundreds of thousands, just in the Old Testament alone, but in the entire Bible, it's over 1,168, 1,167, like that. But it doesn't matter. But it mentioned a lot. So when the word great appear in the Hebrew and in the Greek, you have to define what that word is talking about. And most of the time, when we're talking about great, we're talking about somebody that would have multiple skills. You're thinking about people who are great, people who's capable of making things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I know how great God is. That's not what we're talking about. I want you to know your adversary. Understand what he can do to you. If you're playing football, make sure you know if they can run the ball or throw the ball. If you're playing basketball, know what is the point guard is that good to pass the ball. Basically, it doesn't matter. You need to know your enemy. If you're going to defeat him, you need to know your enemy. And then you know what tools you have. We're to take up the shield of faith. We're to take the word of God, which is the sword of the spirit. He don't like when you bring that word. I don't know if y'all ever noticed this, but Satan can't stand it. He had to go boogity-boogity-boogity. When Jesus brought that word to him, kind of fit it a couple of times, but at the end of the day, Satan went boogity 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 because he don't have no revelation on the word of God. He takes things out of context. When something is great, they can make things fit. They're employable, for a better way of saying it. They qualify. They knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. It's when somebody is great, they well schooled. They taught. They've been trained.
Yeah.
And Satan is the father of lies. He knows how to. And he had that. He had that title when he was in heaven. See, because he got kicked out. Guess what? God didn't take nothing from him.
Mm-hmm.
But you would think. All right. Make him so he can't speak. God said, no, I'm going to still let him speak. He going to have access. I'm going to let him have access. After he had deceived man, not really deceived man, but deceived the woman, and the man chose to disobey God and obey Satan's voice. See, that's important. You got to know who you're hearing from.
Mm-hmm.
So then faith coming by and hearing by the word of God. So you don't want to have a misplaced faith. Satan have multiple skills, but I'm going to kind of leave it there. I hated to go there without trying to clean up a few things, but we'll definitely clean it up for tomorrow's Wednesday. Because I want you to know when the Bible talks about great, I'm talking about I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
When you go out about the Bible, when I tell you even from Genesis to Revelation, it's over 1,000 and one thousand one uses of the word great. Most of them mean the same thing in the Hebrew, and so it is in the Greek. When this word is, and I'm not trying to give y'all a quote in that, but the Bible says, and the kings of the earth, and the Greeks, and the rich men, and the chiefs, the captains, the mighty men, and every bond man, and every free man, hid themselves in the den and of the rocks of the mountains. My great men. So you're going to have to kind of break that down for yourself, and especially when God talks about the great wrath, that the day of the wrath is coming, and who shall be able to stand. It's going to be awesome. But we're going to get into that tomorrow because I can't tell you how many times same word great used in Revelation 7:9 been used to mean the same thing when Christ Yeah. But you're going to understand why Christ is so much better.
Yeah.
Okay. Usually we have, we take a minute or two to share, anybody care to share anything that we've talked about pretty much.
Amen. Well, praise God.
I'm fine. God bless you. I'm looking in the Hebrew Bible, and it says the great is big and grand. So it's big and grand when you say great. It's something that that would be noticeable, or something that would you know, grandstand or grand, you know, big, huge, and grand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
Amen.
Well, that's great. And really, when you find the root of that word, it means a lot. And especially when you think about using it in the Tartarus, when you're using it that way, it means a whole lot. Oh God, I can't tell you how many. It talks about experience. When you're great, mm-hmm. you have experience. When you're great as an expert, when you talk about great, that means you're a master. For cooking.
Right.
You're masterful. You know, when you're thinking about this word, great, and what all it means beyond just the number.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. Trust me. Yeah. Do your research, and then I tell you, brothers and sisters, okay. When you think about great, the Hebrew word, it means well-rounded. When you deal with somebody, you say, ooh, that's a great player. What made him great? What made that player great? What made that person great? When God talks about nations being great, it was mm-hmm. something that they had did. People who had talent.
All right.
Like for instance, they had people used both hands at the same time. People who could do a lot of stuff. They was great. And they was effectively great in the sense that they was a woman of their skills, whatever that was, professional, for a better way of saying it. They were professional. So when you take this word, because all I want you to do is be able to take this word and take it to a whole nother atmosphere. So you can see when they talk about using the word great in the Bible, the 1,110 times, you'll be able to see how great Satan was. And he became the God of this world. You can't be the God of this world and not be great. You think about all the great come before us. Dad, you got the pyramid right now in Egypt that man ain't been able to figure out. They said, oh man, these men was great because they put together something that you can't even tell where it started. You can't tell where it ended at. And we've experienced greats before. They just did the Queen's funeral. They said this is the greatest funeral that they've ever seen. And when you break that down, what great is they talking about? They was talking about the different things that was going on. But anyway, anybody else? Anyone else?
Amen. I just wanted to read Revelation 12 and 9 from the Living Translation. It says, this great dragon or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all his angels. Amen. So you was talking about that great, you know, when I had looked it up, it was from the Webster. It says above normal or above average. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that tied in with Pastor Marilyn. Mm-hmm. Tied in with hers.
Uh-huh. Yeah. See, when you think about greatness, you can think about characteristic. You think about large, all that's agreeable. You think about noble. You think about numbers or numerous of number. You think about all of that. But isn't it remarkable how people use this word great to describe a sitting or a person or describe a behavior?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or even to exalt. Great. But we're going to pick it up tomorrow and we'll get more into the scriptures. But like I said, you know, the Bible says he was great. He called him great. So we have to say what the Bible says and have a clear understanding. He was great because he was perfect. God made him perfect. But you know the thing that I'm going to get into, hopefully, is why God let him keep those greatness, the ability to go in and out through the best of jewels, stone, and all of this stuff. Why he kept the ability to be able to articulate words. Why God let him keep all of that power. He had power over one-third of heaven by himself. One-third.
Yeah.
That's not a power. But we need to know that he's trickery. He's slick. See?
Mm-hmm.
He is a deceiver of the whole world. And I can't get past that. The whole world, I don't care how slick you get, better realize who's controlling you and what's controlling you. Because he is masterful. He knows his craft. And I'll show you that. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of scriptures going to show you that. But anyway, we're going to see you guys on tomorrow. Thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor Marilyn, Pastor Bill, and there was somebody else who, but we need to come back tomorrow and we'll